Survivor fans, we are not just surviving, we are thriving with the power of nutrition. Let's talk about Wonderful Pistachios, a snack that's not only delicious, but also a protein powerhouse.
When I was on that island, I would give anything for a snack to keep my energy levels up.
Well, did you know Wonderful Pistachios are one of the highest protein nuts out there? Each 1 ounce serving gives you 6 grams of protein, delivering over 10% of your daily value.
Whether you're a hardcore survivor or just need a boost during your day, Wonderful Pistachios are the perfect personal protein stash, ready to go whenever hunger strikes. So whether you're cracking open each nut one by one or enjoying the convenience of no shells, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered.
Outwit, outplay, outsnack with Wonderful Pistachios.
Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
You know, Jay, a stressful part of playing Survivor was not being able to get things off my chest, since when it came down to it, we were all after the same price.
Yeah. And since you played such an amazing social game, it must have been hard to keep things bottled up.
Absolutely. It was rough having to keep everything inside, big and small things, to stay focused on the game.
And having to do that can have a really negative effect on us, which is one of the reasons that I love therapy.
Exactly. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's all online and made to be convenient and flexible so it can fit your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist.
And you can switch therapists at any time for free, so you're sure you're on a team with the right person.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/onfire today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/onfire.
Welcome to On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. I'm Jeff Probst, the host and showrunner of Survivor. Each week, I'm joined by Jay Wolf, Survivor fan and the producer of this podcast. Hello, Jay.
Hey, Jeff.
As well as former Survivor player, winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares. Hey, Dee.
What's up? What's up?
So each week, we dissect the big moments of the most recent episode of Survivor 46, and we bring you insight from the points of view of the fan, the producer, and the player. All right, let's get into it. Episode 2, Survivor 46. Jay, what stood out to you?
This episode for me was about emotions. I think we saw them throughout. Kenzie, Banu, Tiff, Venus. I'd love to dive into that specifically today. So my first question is about something that felt like a day 4 drop-off. And especially in this new era, it seems to be about the time that people start getting really hungry, really hangry, really irritable. And we heard it from Kenzie.
It's just so overwhelming because it seems like everything is just going to be easy and perfect and you're just going to like get it done. And then you get here and you're faced with the reality that, like, being so tired and depleted. And I'm tough. Like, I'm a tough cookie and this is hard. Do my eyes look really blue? Good. They always look really blue after I cry.
Wow.
Jay, I love that clip. And I know you have a question somewhere you want to go. But, Dee, that moment when you hear her so vulnerable, do you relate to that?
I do. And my heart is racing right now. I thought that was beautiful. And I also love the playfulness of it, too. Like, both emotions are in there right now.
All right, Jay, where are you going with this?
Well, I wanted to know, Jeff, if this is like a part of the game design. You know what I mean? Like, you're obviously considering their hunger levels, but are you expecting this sort of emotional upheaval?
Well, it's a really interesting how you framed it and caught it on day 4. So, okay, let's remind the overall idea of the new era, which is earn everything. That's why there are small tribes, because there's nowhere to hide. That's why there are very few supplies. So you have to earn your shelter and you have to earn every coconut you open. There's no food and there's rough bamboo and there's rain, because it takes all of this to reach that crisis point that you just saw Kenzie experience. Well, if you had food, okay, then sleeping on bamboo isn't so bad. So the idea is to find that perfect set of ingredients that deprives you of so much that it drains you. And that's when it starts to get interesting, because now you got to dip into your reserves.
Yeah.
How badly do you want this? What will you do to get it? Because it's only day 4. And what's interesting about day 4 is we've had a tribal council. So now there's been blood. The game is real. Mm. Somebody is gone. And if it's your tribe, like Kenzie, it's very real because now you've only got five players left. It's not easy to vote somebody out. But even if it's not your tribe, D was on a winning tribe, but you still show up and realize, oh, somebody else is gone. One day that could be me.
Mm.
Yep.
So D, do you remember that moment when it dawned on you, oh my God, this is going to be harder than I thought?
Yes, I will never forget it. And that moment of realization actually happened in a confessional with a producer named Clark. And I remember I broke down bawling and telling him I could not believe that there are people in this world who are literally starving in this day and age. Mm. And I felt that reality, eating 2 inches of coconut for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Mind you, we had a machete. But the difference was that I knew mine had an expiration date. So taking that real world perspective onto the island truly helped in my lowest moments. And look, as a player going in, you can train by fasting, but you also have to accept that you'll never be fully prepared for what you're about to face.
Well, and I think, Dee, that's what you saw in Kenzie right there. You cannot ever be fully prepared because she's more tired than she ever dreamed. She's hungrier than she's ever known. And she's emotionally drained in ways that you can't really explain because of everything we just talked about. It's so overwhelming.
It is.
And it's only day four. And yet, form follows function. There's an intention to all of this. What did we learn? We learned about Kenzie. We saw her vulnerability. We saw that she's tough. We saw that she is glass half full and that when she cries, her eyes get blue. People ask, hey, how do you get on Survivor? That's how you get on Survivor. That's it. You be vulnerable. Mm. You let us see you. That's all we ask.
I think it often goes unsung, but this does speak directly to the playing from the couch. People just... For me personally, hearing the two of you talk about how difficult this moment really is, then even later in this podcast episode, I'm sure I'm going to criticize Kenzie, but I'm not fully considering everything she's going through because I can't experience it. I don't have the sense of it. The next thing I wanted to talk about was that there's another element of this show that we've seen repeatedly, and yet it's different every time. You're forced to bond with a bunch of strangers. You don't know them at all, and you're thrown into this situation where you got to rely on them. And not only that, you have to connect with them emotionally. And we saw two really different but fun ways of that in this episode.
For today's challenge, you'll be diving down 45 feet blindfolded.
For a screw.
For a one screw at the bottom of the ocean.
We have covered it with 2,000 nails.
Right.
You gotta feel for
the first try to get the screw wins.
Air.
I mean, obviously they're poking some fun at you here, Jeff,
but
it's a really fun way of bonding.
Right.
On the other side of the coin, we saw Charlie, who told us that it was difficult for him to find connections.
I think it's just so important to connect with people out here, and I'm going to have to figure out a way. So I'm a massive Taylor Swift fan, and I love Star Wars and Harry Potter and all these nerdy things. So anytime I can sort of be spouting any sort of stuff like that and just showing people what I like and who I am, that's what I want to do.
We went on to see this magnificent Taylor Swift versus Metallica, which is a mashup I think the world is waiting for, song naming sequence. And I think I was as captivated by it as everybody else.
And what was great about that, Jay, was so was our crew shooting it.
Really?
They had no idea it was going to go to over 100 songs.
Insane.
Unbelievable.
And if you watch the coverage of that, they very quickly realized we have a competition happening, and they started shooting it in the moment, knowing an editor will have fun cutting this. And then it continued to go and continued to go and went further than anybody ever dreamed and became one of those moments that you'll never forget about this season of Survivor. And thanks to 90 Minutes, we have time to show it.
Mm. The other thing that's really interesting to me is that, you know, in a way, this is kind of what's been happening since the very beginning of Survivor.
You're exactly right. In fact, you saw this exact same thing happen in the first 20 minutes of the first episode of the first season. It came out in a different form, but it was Richard Hatch sitting in a tree as Sue Hawk walked underneath and Richard said, I think we should talk. And Sue said, where I'm from, we work while we talk. It's this community that's bonding. They bonded in a little more adversarial way, but they were still right. bonding and saying, this is who I am. And that's a big part of the game. Charlie was looking for a way to get in. And what he saw with Ben was music. I could do Taylor Swift. He's got rock. Let's do it. Really smart. And it's a great example that you have to meet people where they are. You can't just expect them to come to where you are. And the great Survivor players are very adept at this.
Mm. I mean, D, to that point, the game really never stops. So what was your approach to making a joke or sharing a story, knowing that everything you do impacts your game?
Yeah, I love camp life. If anything, I think camp life is way more important than the strategizing in itself, because camp life is when the guards get knocked down. And naturally, we want to be around people we like, right? This downtime is all about being as relatable as possible to everyone, even if it's a dancing stick bug. So my approach was to always make sure that I get people laughing and crack jokes about myself. I'd share about my family because we all have one, right? And vulnerable life experiences because we all go through them. So I needed my tribe mates to know, hey, I can be fun, but I'm also a loyalist. And if you ride with me, I'm riding with you. So pay attention during these times, because people will tell you who they are and what they value. We're always being quote unquote human out there, but how human are you to every single person on the island? That's really how you get people to become your genuine allies early on.
And here we are once again getting a masterclass in how you play Survivor. I mean, and I'm not just trying to flatter you for the sake of it, Dee. That's really great insight. And I think that vulnerability that you talked about is key, because you can't put on a mask under these conditions and keep it on for 26 days. At least I've never seen anybody do it. Sooner or later, your truth comes out. So instead, just show who you are and trust that if you make it to the end, that that vulnerability you shared will have some value. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, do I like it when players give me a hard time? What do you think, D? Hold that answer. I want to know. And we're going to take you inside the making of that amazing arching puzzle challenge, one of my all-time favorites, and the momentary panic I felt when I did wonder, are they going to finish this? We'll be right back.
Listen, wearing the same clothes for 26 days straight on Survivor really made me realize the importance of buying high-quality, long-lasting clothes. That's why I love Quince. They have timeless, well-made pieces that last for years and don't go out of style. Quince has all the seasonal must-haves like 100% European linen shirts, performance polos, and versatile flow-knit activewear. Buying pieces from Quince means that I don't have to keep buying new clothes every year, which is better for my wallet and the environment. I recently got a super chic Italian leather tote from Quince, and I'm loving how it looks. The best part about Quince is that by partnering directly with top factories, they're able to keep prices super affordable. I'm talking 50 to 80% cheaper than similar brands. And the other best part is that Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices. I love that. Upgrade your wardrobe. Go to quince.com/survivor for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/survivor to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/survivor.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
You know, Jay, a stressful part of playing Survivor was not being able to get things off my chest, since when it came down to it, we were all after the same price.
Yeah. And since you played such an amazing social game, it must have been hard to keep things bottled up.
Absolutely. It was rough having to keep everything inside, big and small things, to stay focused on the game.
And having to do that can have a really negative effect on us, which is one of the reasons that I love therapy.
Exactly. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's all online and made to be convenient and flexible, so it can fit your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist.
And you can switch therapists at any time for free, so you're sure you're on a team with the right person.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/onfire today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/onfire.
Welcome back to On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. Also, if you're enjoying this podcast, make sure you're following us so that it automatically downloads and notifies you when we have a new episode drop. Okay, Jay, what's the next moment?
Yeah, the next moment. I promised the folks that I would get here. I'm going to criticize Kenzie now. We're coming back to Yanu, and Kenzie takes Jess and Banu to this gorgeous cave to try to talk strategy. And Dee, I want to ask about Kenzie's move here.
I kind of tossed some bait out there to see if I could work with Jess and Banu on a possible blind side, and I didn't really get much. I don't think Jess or Banu are very strategic players, and I don't want to have to hold people's hands through this game.
You can't go to Tiff and Q and talk about this conversation.
Yeah.
They will freak out.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that.
Okay, good.
Honestly, for me, this was surprising. Kenzie seemed solid with Q and with Tiff. So why risk going to these two others and saying anything? Is it a misstep or is it, again, just this emotion that's built up in her and now she's sort of playing sloppy?
Yeah, watching that conversation made me nervous for Kenzie. You may think someone isn't a strategic player, right? But that doesn't really mean they aren't observant to the relationships going on around them. And look, it's only a mess up if it doesn't work. But in Kenzie's case, it backfired because Q is starting to lose trust. And personally, I don't think the scenario was an effect of emotion as much as it was an effect of personality. Jess even mentioned that it was their first strategy talk, which is a little scary because usually it's best to lay out a foundation before such heavy bait. So I'm curious if things will change for Kenzie in terms of her bond with Q and Tiff.
Yeah, me too. All right, the next thing I want to get to is the challenge. And before we got to the challenge, there was a ton of really fun crosstalk, I think, both between the players on the different tribes, and then also with you, Jeff.
Right.
All right. This is cute.
Okay. He's part of the Nami tribe now, so we had to make sure he had his own buck.
Oh, nice. Fortunately, I always carry a little knife of my own.
Yeah. I told you he wouldn't let that slide.
Yeah.
I've been through that. I'm not surprised.
You don't own this idol, Nami. You got to win this idol.
Scorpio energy right there.
Thank you, Jeff. Your hat is orange, though, Jeff, so thank you.
Oh, that's fun.
Wow.
Jeff, that's the second time in two seasons you've pulled out a knife. I just want to note that for everybody.
Yeah, do you carry it with you everywhere?
No, D. I got my own bag of tricks.
Okay, so in the Q&A, what purpose does this serve beyond the back and forth? And how does a player know when it's okay to take a shot at you, Jeff?
Well, if you're asking me, I love it. Capital letters when players banter with me. And number one, it makes me feel like I'm part of the fun. And I'm also okay with negotiating. I'm good with it all. As far as the knife, yeah, that's a little playful response to the criticism that I've become a little too soft in recent seasons. And look, I've said it many times. I'm going to say it again. When we came back after the pandemic, I will own it. I wanted Survivor to be fun. And I wanted to make a show that we felt families would feel safe to watch and would help distract you from everything we were going through. But I hear you. I'm listening. I do have an edge. Ask the people I work with. I got an edge. And I do know that I was too soft last season on our two quitters. That was really the moment that I really kind of saw it. It broke my back. I was too soft. I see it. I also have said I went too far with Change History. I did. That was all me. And I heard that criticism and we got rid of it. So I can change. I am malleable. You can mold me. But it's not like, you know, I just suddenly start dressing in all black and I'm the villain. You have to have the opportunity to play. And that's why I really liked that the Nami tribe put a piece of yellow cloth on the idol. That was fun. And it gave me an opportunity to play. Remember, I could have handled that in a very different way. I could have said, I like the confidence, and since you are the only tribe that's won it, I say it just stays on until somebody else wins it, and they can do what they want. But instead, I took the guidance of the fans, and I pulled out my knife. So for future players, feel free to bring it all. The show is a living, breathing thing, and I'm curious, Dee, what is your take on this?
Honestly, this was my favorite part of the episode, and I loved that the viewers were able to see this banter because it happens all the time. It happens all the time, but luckily with the 90-minute episodes, you guys get to see more of it, so bring it on.
All right, let's get into the challenge. This challenge had everything. There was build a cart, put huge chests on it, empty them. All of a sudden, inside the chests are these gigantic blocks, and now you have to stack them into this arc and spell the word persistence, and boy, persistence it did take, so much so that you went to break in the middle of the challenge, something that does not happen a lot on Survivor. Jeff, talk to us about this challenge. Where did it come from? How do you decide to put in a new challenge? And how do you test something this big with what ended up feeling like kind of a risky ending?
Yeah. Well, and feel free to interrupt because there's a lot here to get through. Mm. This idea for this challenge actually goes back to Survivor 41, but pre-COVID. So Kurhofer and Marchand had an idea about this archway puzzle. They had talked about it for years, but they decided they wanted to do it. So they drew up a sketch, which is how all of our challenges start. They make a little comic book storyboard. They're really fun.
That's fun.
And then they show it to Zach and Simo. They thought it was cool. So they started designing it. Then COVID hit and we stopped production. We had people in Fiji working. We were getting close to shooting. So we literally shut down.
Wow.
Mm. Months later, we come back and now we've got a different idea of what we're going to do for this season. And we're shooting 26 days and we're shooting back to back with no break because we had all of these COVID protocols. So there was a lot going on. This was too big to take on.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, one of our challenge consultants, Koro, he was in pitching an idea. We'd actually worked with him in the Philippines, and he suggested, hey, how about an archway puzzle? Because he had actually built something similar for something else. So we have this idea now that it can work. So as is the protocol for our challenge team, they made a smaller one, and it worked, and we put that smaller version in Survivor 45.
I remember seeing it. Drew wins. Austin couldn't spell the word.
Exactly.
I remember looking at this and being like, have they done this before? And I did not remember that they did it before, but just, you know, 50 times smaller.
So that was a great example of our process. We're going to make a small version to see if it works. But hey, this works as a small version. Let's put it into a different challenge. Okay. So they know it'll work. We put it in 45, but they keep working on the bigger version. And they spend a lot of time trying to figure out how many pieces, how much should each piece weigh, what do you build them out of, how tall does it have to be impressive but achievable. Then, of course, you have to test it. Is it too exhausting? Can somebody finish it? What if the tribes are really wiped and they're lacking energy? What's the right word to use? So it's one challenge, but it took so much effort. And here's a part of Survivor that I think is really cool. While the players like D are out there living on their island and they're struggling with fire and they're trying to fix part of their broken shelter or whatever happens in a day, across the ocean on another island is us. And we're fine-tuning what they're going to do the next day or a journey they're going to do in a few days. So it's this really cool living, breathing thing that is happening. And I remember one day when I passed by Art and Challenges on my way to a challenge and I saw our dream teamers holding these big blocks of wood over their head trying to see if it was going to work. And I was like, this is why I love this show. The camaraderie and the teamwork and everything it takes. And then you get out there on the day and it's gigantic.
How long did that challenge take to make?
That's a big build. That is a, as Jay said, you know, you have all these different elements and they require a lot of construction and a lot of testing. And the way we do it on our grid is there's a finite amount of time and resources. Mm. So if Kurhofer and Marchand and Zach and Simo decide, let's do this big arching puzzle, they have to know that they have time in our schedule to pull it off, which means another challenge has to either be something we've already done before that we can build quickly, or it's something that doesn't require as much people power. So it's all a trade-off. You know, this costs this much, then this is how much time and energy you have left to spend. What's great is when it all pays off. Mm-hmm. They put all this time and energy, and it's, you know, top 10 challenges of all time for me. And including, there was a moment, probably 20 minutes of a moment, where I thought, oh man, what if
is it going to pay off?
Yeah. What if we overestimated their energy and it's too much for them? But we always have a backup plan. We always have a tiebreaker. So I'm not worried from a game point of view, but you want it to work because you want a group of people who work this hard to actually accomplish it. And you saw, I mean, Banu yelling at Jess and Q yelling at everybody and the panic and then the words misspelled and there's absolute utter exhaustion by everyone. And then it's over and Yanu lost again, not for lack of effort, but same result. Tiff is on her back, nothing left in the tank, tribal council, somebody going home. And that is why Survivor kicks ass.
I mean, you could feel it, the screams, both of elation and of absolute total failure from everyone on the tribe.
Yep.
D, was there a moment like that for you?
Was there a moment? Every single challenge feels like that. You know when you're lightheaded and you're about to faint and then you start blacking out and seeing stars?
Wow.
That's exactly what every challenge feels like. We're that depleted.
Wow.
And there's even more pressure because you know your tribe mates are depending on you. So no matter what, you have to keep going at least a little more than the person next to you, or you might be the one going home that night.
All right, when we come back, let's pay it off, Jay. I know you set it up talking about emotions, and that all comes out of Tribal Council, including Banu kind of risking everything. Plus, we will answer your questions. We'll be right back. Welcome back to On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. All right, Jay, bring it home.
Yeah, let's get into Tribal Council. Obviously, a ton of emotion coming out of the challenge, a ton of emotion on the beach. And then we reach tribal. And Banu, quite simply, could not keep it together. As a fan, you're watching this and your fist is in your mouth. And you're like, please sit down. Just please stop talking. Just stop. You're going to be fine. And Tiff says as much. Stop making the block hot.
Great line.
As someone counting on that number, D, what do you do?
Look, I feel for Banu. Tribal was really the hardest for me. Look, you can be passionate, but also know when the right time to be that passionate is. And in that moment, honestly, I will just make sure he's reassured as much as possible. But unless I know Banu is 1,000,000% an ally to me more than anyone else, I'm not sure I'd be able to keep him around in fear that he might potentially spill some secrets in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to comment on Banu because I think this is a great example of why the diversity on Survivor is so compelling, because he is trying to communicate, but it's his method of communication that isn't working with this community.
Yeah.
And despite his intentions, he has to realize if it's not working, I've got to adapt. And that's what the great players do. They quickly realize, oh, this didn't land well. They don't like my sense of humor. I'm too intense. That gesture is annoying. I think we saw it with D, and how D would talk with Julie and then how D would talk with Austin was very different.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem comes when someone, as D said, who is in your alliance becomes a liability, regardless why they aren't getting it. And I think that's where Banu is heading if he doesn't make a shift. That's the question. Can Banu realize what's happening and adapt?
Jeff, what are your thoughts on Jess? As obviously she was the victim of a pretty smartly played fake idol, and we ended up saying goodbye.
Yeah, Jess never got her footing, and I think it's clear she was a little overwhelmed. But I want to say, throughout casting, Jess was really interesting, super compelling. In fact, my notes on her were, she's quirky. She'll contribute unique ideas to the group. She is not led by group think. Her authenticity is, capital letter, so appealing. Her uniqueness is so appealing.
Mm-hmm.
So we saw a different part of Jess in casting. And I think it's just a great example of what happens when you have a group of strangers and crisis thrown together, because it creates these unpredictable situations and you're not eating, your thought process isn't clear. That's why I often say, sometimes if you can just survive one tribal where you're in trouble, that's sometimes all you need, because then the game will change and you get your footing. And that could have happened with Jess, but it didn't. So as a result, she's the second person voted out and Survivor 46 continues.
Okay, let's get into some fan questions. And as a reminder, if you have a question for Jeff, you can email us at survivorshoutout@cbs.com. I will read those questions, maybe even read them here. The first question comes from Alexander. He writes, "Hi, fam." Hi, Alexander. "Hope you're well. Watching season 30 and they're doing schoolyard picks. Why aren't we doing that now? I think we would all love to see the drama of the picking process and relive the elementary school days."
I like questions that go back to older seasons and remind us how we used to do things and make us on the production side reconsider why. Why did we do it back then and why aren't we doing it now? In this case, the number one reason we aren't doing it is we like the uncertainty that comes with reaching into a bag or grabbing a random buff. That's our primary intention. With the schoolyard pick, you obviously don't have that uncertainty. And instead, two different things end up happening. Everybody sees who is aligned, because that's who you're trying to pick to be on your tribe. And everybody sees who isn't aligned. And that can remove even more uncertainty. So would we ever do it again? Yes. if we had an intention that in this case, we want to reveal who is and isn't aligned. That's always going to be the question is, why are we doing it? Mm.
All right. The next question is coming from Emma. Hey there, big fan of the podcast. The question that I've always thought about, especially when I think of applying for the show, is what do most people do about their jobs? I imagine the majority of people have to leave their jobs to come on the show, but I'd also like to think that many players like myself love what they do. So I'm wondering how people navigate that. Are they able to go back to their jobs or are they just out of luck unless they win the $1 million?
Well, I'll answer. And then Dee, I'm curious at what you had to leave behind. But I think mm-hmm. this question speaks to the commitment required to play Survivor, because Emma's absolutely yeah. right. Most people have some sort of responsibility. You might be a parent, in which case the question is, can your spouse handle the kids and everything that comes with running a house while you're away? What if you're a single parent? And if you're working, do you have enough vacation or are you valued enough that your boss will just let you leave without knowing what you're doing because you're not supposed to tell them, which is why in some cases, Jay, people quit their jobs.
Crazy.
They want it that much. And then you have the other consideration, the loss of income.
Right.
Yeah.
If you win the million like D, okay, it was worth it. But if you're first out like Jelinski, it may actually cost you to play Survivor. And then the last element is the scheduling. We're shooting Survivor 47 on these specific days. If you can't make those specific days, then you can't be on Survivor 47. So if you have a kid's graduation or your daughter's getting married or somebody's having a baby, that's another big decision point. So it takes a lot to get out there, which is why you have to play to win.
Yep.
So Dee, I'm curious, A, what did you have to leave behind? And B, knowing you're making that sacrifice, what is your approach to this game if you do get out there?
Yeah, so I actually quit a sales job that I had, a remote wow. great sales job. I left behind my business partner working on the business. And look, I'm not just saying this because I won, but my mindset going into the game was that I was going to bet on myself. I have a 1 in 18 chances of winning $1 million. Mm. So you might not have that at your job unless you're there for many, many years. And
right.
yeah, you mm-hmm. love your job, but you can always come back and find another job you love. You might never get a call from Survivor again. So there's no right or wrong answer here, Emma, but you kind of have to want it bad enough. So I really hope that you apply.
Mm-hmm. All right. Last question comes from Jakan. He writes, hey, Probst, I have a burning question about post-production that I've wondered for a while. When Survivor's all said and done, players get back home, what can they share? I know they can't post on social media, but can they at least tell their friends and family how they did?
Okay, it's a good question. There's two answers. There's the contract and what your contract says you can do. Yep. And then there's what people actually do. The contract says you can't talk. But as Survivor illustrates every week, we are humans. We are not AI robots yet. So you're going to want to tell somebody. It's only natural. You want to tell your parents or your best friend or your spouse because you're dying to share this experience with someone. But here's the trick about sharing a secret, any secret. Hey, did you hear about what happened with Roxy? Oh, no. Oh, you're going to love this. Okay, in that moment, before you share the secret, you have power. You have inside info. The minute you share it, now that person has the secret. They have the power. And now they want to go tell somebody, you're not going to believe what they told me about Roxy. You're not supposed to tell anybody. I'm not even supposed to know. Well, that's how gossip works. So the one thing we remind players, and I know we gave this speech to D's season, when the game is over, we say, look, this is your season. You're the one out here working your butt off. You're the one missing your family. So if you want to risk spoiling it, it's on you. But it is way more fun to say nothing and let your family and friends take the ride with you. They'll know soon enough. But once you spoil the surprise, then it's over.
That's fun. You know, I also feel like the one with the secret has the power feels like not bad advice for Survivor players as well.
Oh, yeah.
Good advice, Jay. You're learning. Being a fan, you're learning how to play this game.
One day at a time.
All right, that's it for this week's episode of On Fire. If you enjoy the show and you have a moment, please give us a rating. It will really help us grow.
And if you really want to go for it, you can leave us a review like the one that comes from Allison Rebecca that says, if you love behind the scenes details and Survivor, this is the podcast for you. I love hearing Jeff talk so passionately about all the hard work that everyone puts into the show. I'm not hardy enough to be a contestant, but it makes me want to be on the crew.
I can feel that. I think I concur with Allison and Rebecca. If you do leave us a review, we might just read it here. So go do that wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, there's a brand new episode of Survivor every Wednesday at 8, 7 Central on CBS and Paramount Plus. And immediately following the episode, there's a new episode of this podcast, On Fire. See you then.